The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down, episode 185. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Caribbean queen, now we're sharing the same dream.
Chris what? Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
What up?
Adam Vale.
Slayer for life.
And Brian Manjoma.
Who knew that having a female on a cover of a video game would cause so much emotion?
Yo, man, you spoiler. We're going to talk about that later. Yeah, man, how's it? By the way, did you like how I elongated your name, man? Because I forgot to unmute the desktop audio. I'm like, really extend it a little bit longer.
You know? y'all don't know Billy Ocean?
Yeah, motherfuckers don't know Billy Ocean, man. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, there's a new Ocean guy running around, right? I thought he was Billy Ocean. I'm like, I think Frank Ocean is his name.
Something Ocean.
Yeah and I'm R&B like, singer. Yeah. When I heard about the guy, I'm like, you mean Billy Ocean, right? I'm like, what the fuck? Who's Frank Ocean? Come on, Billy Ocean, man. You know, what's going
Shout
on?
Shout out to Frank Ocean, man. He's really good.
Is he related to Billy Ocean?
Oh no, his name's not even Ocean.
Oh, he's got a stage name.
Yeah, it's a stage name.
Yo, man, what's
I'm sure
up with
Billy
that?
Ocean had a stage name too.
Billy Ocean probably is a stage name, you know. Man, y'all don't know about no Billy Ocean's man.
Romancing the Stone. I mean
that's right, Romancing the Stone.
Jewel of the Nile. That's the one that he sang the song for.
Oh man. All right, so we're actually going to start the episode off on a little bit of a down note, man. Just had to do it because this guy is a big presence in gaming. Rest in peace to Mr. John Bain, who you guys may know as a Total Biscuit. He, you know, unfortunately lost his battle with cancer earlier today, man. So shout out to him, you know, condolences to his family and all that. You know, I can't really say I was like a fan of his, not because I didn't like what he does. I just never really consumed his stuff. But I know he was very respected in the community. He even won an award for a game awards, I believe, like trending gamer or something like that. So, yeah, shout out to him. I don't know if any of you guys here have watched his work or know about him.
I used to watch his stuff. He had cool stuff where he just mostly did PC game reviews. And they just did a lot of that stuff. So it's a shame to hear that. Like, I mean, I remember, like, I don't know, a while ago he had mentioned that he was diagnosed with cancer and he was just going to continue to fight and continue to do the things that he, you know, do the things that he enjoyed until the end. So that's pretty much what he did.
Yeah.
I think the last video that he did was maybe in March. Not much long ago.
Yeah, because I know he said it was around that time he said he was going to, you know, pretty much stop because he knew what was coming, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that sucks. I don't know any of the rest of you guys know about him, like his work, fans or anything.
I've watched a couple of his videos also. I mean, he's pretty witty. He had some good stuff. They started spreading out, though. I'm sure he was getting treatment. Yeah. And whatnot, so as we just start getting a few and far between, so that's sad to hear that he's gone.
Yeah.
What about you guys in the chat? Morham, who, shout out to Morham, he was actually watching us earlier today, you know, during the stream. We were streaming whatchamacallit,
Bloodstained, yeah. Curse of the Moon.
So yeah, he says he used to create WoW videos, then a series called What the Fuck is a major component of PC gaming in the last decade, and also ran a podcast called Co-Optional Podcast for a bit. Cool, man.
How old was he?
He was 32, 33.
Really?
Yeah, man. It's crazy. Cancer. Remember when we were kids, cancer only claimed like old people, really, you know?
Yeah, no.
Now, at least it seemed that way, right?
Yeah, it did seem that way, at least.
Don't worry, it's going to catch us all. It's in the cell phones.
Yeah, right?
Motherfuckers don't want to tell us that shit. I believe that it's in probably a lot of electronics that we're putting to our fucking head and we're putting in our pockets and shit.
That, you know, not to make light of the situation, but that's actually something our friend Evil Chris used to believe. That's why he didn't get a cell phone for years. He believed that shit gave you cancer. Who knows, man? Morham says his crew and wife will continue the podcast on his main channel, Total Biscuit. All right. So his legacy continues. So that's good.
All right. Respect.
You know?
Oh, damn, that's a real shame because like, I just woke up now. Like, because I remember that he talked about it, like, not recently, but like, I think like 2-3 weeks ago, saying how, like, he just can't do anything else. I'm like, okay, maybe he's just taking some time off. And wow, it's an instant shock because, again, like, I followed some of his work because, again, he always did, like, really in-depth reviews of, like, PC games in the sense of he'd go through and look at the settings, like, is menu okay? Is the port okay? Like, do the settings make sense or are they just random noise? So he used to put, like, anyone and everyone on blast. So,
yeah.
Yeah, like, major respect to the guy. And, yeah, it's a shame to hear about it.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Yeah, Morham, you're right. He is immortalized on Twitch with the LUL emote. That's right. You know, you guys have seen it pop up sometimes during our streams and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sucks, man. You know, but just wanted to give him, you know, a little bit of shout out, even if we're not the hugest fans here. Had to give him a shout out, man.
Yeah.
All right, man. So
I mean, we know all too well of how you know, cancer can, you know.
Yeah.
Especially with
exactly.
It's, you know, condolences to his family and everything. If they're you know, if they ever manage to stumble onto this page, other show.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we're gonna move on. We're gonna do something a little different here. This worked out pretty well for God of War, so we're gonna do it again. So I'm gonna give you a mini review of Detroit Become Human. Are we gonna do it the same way? I'm gonna tell you about the game, and then the guys in here are gonna ask me questions, and then you guys in the chat will ask me questions, right?
Nice.
Probably not going to be as long as God of War. There's not as much to cover, unless you want to get into some of the bullshit, which I kind of don't. But, yeah, thank you. There it is, the Apex. There's the LOL for Mr. John Bain. So, yeah, Detroit is that. When the hell did Beyond come out? It was a long time ago. It was on PS3. So it's been a while since, you know, these guys, you know, David Cage and crew have come out with a game. They finally came out with one. And it's interesting about it because it's actually based kind of on that Kara demo they put out a bunch of years ago, because they created a new engine. They wanted to show it off, and people were wondering, yo, is that going to be a game? Is that going to be a game? And they eventually did turn it into a game, and which is what Become you know, Human is. And here's the thing, and I said this right up front in my review: if you are a fan of David Cage games, you're gonna love this. You're gonna find that it is the best Quantic Dream game ever. If you don't like those games, you're not going to be convinced by this one. It is the same. The formula has not been changed at all. It's just been refined. But all the shit that you either love or hate, it's all the same. It's all the same, you know. Just a little bit better. But yeah, you're not going to, you know, be won over, as you can see. So some of the reactions over on Twitter, right? I'll just break it down simply graphically. And again, this keeps happening with every PlayStation game, man. Every PlayStation game. This tops God of War. It's crazy, man. Like, it doesn't have that uncanny valley, which I was expecting. Like, even when you begin the game, there's, like, this robot's face, right? She's taking up the entire screen. You can just see every pore on her, but she doesn't look robotic, even though she is a robot. Graphics are crazy. Some of the NPCs look, you know, all right and stuff. The backgrounds look really good. Yeah, but the graphics, the facial animations, they don't look as bad as they did in the previous Quantic Dream games. Sometimes they looked a little robotic or whatever. Like, the previous Quantic Dream games looked good. Animation, little questionable, you know? So that was good. You know, the story, that's the one thing I'm not too much of a fan of, and it's not because it wasn't told well, it was actually told very well. It's just we've heard it so many times, the whole, hey, androids are gonna, you know, take over our jobs, oh, they're gonna become sentient, oh, they're gonna fight us. It's like, you know what I'm saying, we've seen all this before. And I'm gonna chalk this up to David Cage being French, and I'm not, this is not a diss, this is just what I believe. I think that's why you get some of the clunky dialogue in the game. It's like, yeah, they don't have the stupid French actors trying to mimic, you know, like American accents, but it's like some of the dialogue is like, yo, you should have rewrote that. It's too, like, forward, you know what I'm saying?
I heard he was trying to be represent America or something like that. And
well, the game does take place in Detroit, obviously, you know? But yeah, the dialogue was a little bit clunky at times, and some of the like metaphors he was trying to do for like racial stuff was too fucking on the nose. Like, yeah, okay, yeah, we get it, bro. They put the androids in the back of the bus, okay. You know what I'm saying? But you know, the thing is, like, since you're actually playing the shit yourself, right? You know, interacting with it, you know, you kind of look past some of that stuff because you're just really immersed in it and stuff. And that's what David Cage and, you know, his team does very well. They really put you in that moment. They make you feel that tension, you know, even though it's just QTEs and all that, it feels really, really good. Like when you're just in that fucking moment. Go ahead.
I was going to say, definitely it's because I think, you know, race relations in some place like France were a lot, and, you know, in a lot of Europe is a lot different than it was in the United States. So I feel like, you know, putting, you know, some, you know, on the nose stuff, like putting, you know, their androids on the back of the bus. It's like, oh, come on. Really? We know what that is. You know, it's not even hot. It's a kind of a veiled, you know, it's a really lightly veiled, you know, of what they're trying to do.
It's not even lightly veiled. It's not veiled, period. It's like, okay, bro, yeah. There's other moments too. It's like pretty sure you guys have seen the screenshots. It's like, press X to, you know, write, you know, we have a dream. Press X to freedom. It's like, bro, come on, man. Could have done better. But yeah, I did enjoy the story. Thank you, Honey's Anime, for hosting us. But yeah, it is derivative, but it is still fun to play through. Very, you know, again, I'm a fan of those games, so I really liked it. And I really like the branching storylines. Like at the end of every chapter, you see all the paths you could have taken. So if you're a trophy hunter, you're going to be like, oh shit. Okay. I'm going to go back and do this.
Do you have to do all that? Like I remember in Heavy Rain, you had to get every ending if you want to get all the trophies.
That I don't know. Cause I haven't seen the, I think the trophy list goes live tomorrow. Cause remember when I get the games beforehand, I can't see any of the trophies. Mm-hmm. Actually check this out. I heard that even when the game goes live, they're going to disable sharing. Kind of like Persona 5 did. I'm guessing because they don't want people to spoil shit. Kind of annoying. But hey, you know, if I ever decide to stream it, I got Elgato, so that's not a problem. But yeah, I think a lot of replayability there because you know you see all the different branches and like I thought I did. Like you basically cannot play the game completely in one playthrough. You need to go through a bunch of them and stuff. And also interestingly, when you beat a level, you get points. You can use those points to like unlock shit in the extras, like you know, extra movies, 3D character render, stuff like that. If you don't want to deal with that, you don't have to, but it's a nice little touch there, you know. I don't believe any of those games have ever had anything like that before, you know.
No, where you could specifically look at the, you know, the characters and stuff. No, they never did that.
Yeah, but yeah, overall, I think it's a really strong game. But again, if you do not like David Cage games, you're not gonna like this one. But if you like David Cage games, you're gonna love this shit. So yeah, let me field some questions that you guys may have. And I'm talking to you guys in the panel first.
So, okay. Would it be a spoiler? I swear that one person's house in that trailer looked exactly like Ethan's house in friggin' Heavy Rain. The one that Kara's in.
Oh, so what's your question?
Is it that house?
No, I can't say yes or no. It's not because of a spoiler, because the game doesn't tell you if it is or not, you know?
Oh, okay. It's a weird thing. Like, you go into that, they show that house, and it looks exactly the same.
Yeah, it really does, doesn't it? You know, but no, the game doesn't tell you that, but maybe...
Oh, the one where you're like playing with the kid?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like getting him, making him lunch or something like that?
Yeah, it looks like the same house.
Oh.
They may have reused shit, you know?
Well, they never said exactly where Heavy Rain takes place, though.
Yeah, it could be Detroit. I don't know. Again, I'm not being vague or anything. I honestly don't know. You know?
So,
why are you keeping secrets, Sony?
Don't mean to spoil. Let's see what else. I mean, you said the game is pretty much like the David Cage formula, kind of, you know, polished to a fine sheen.
Yes, yes. I don't know if that's the question.
Yeah, I mean, you know? It's not very many questions I have about it because, I mean, the way the narrative kind of goes, you also said the game in general seems to take around 6 hours or something like that.
No, it took me 10, you know.
10 hours?
Yeah, it took about 10 hours. I just went all in.
And that's just you, that's just you not even bothering to look at everything.
Well, you kind of have to and stuff because, you know, there's clues. By the way, I should forget about this. Remember in Heavy Rain how Norman Jaden had those special glasses? He like analyzed the world.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the robots could do that in this game. which is kind of cool. Like, there's one robot who's an actual detective. He could scan stuff. And what's cool, what he does is he can actually reconstruct a scene and you could play it back and forth and find clues. And then the other robot, he can actually, like, let's say he needs to do like a parkour thing. He can actually map out how he's going to move and stuff and, you know, see if it's going to work or not, you know?
Mm.
Only annoying thing is you can't exactly fail those sections, you know?
Oh, interesting.
Like, you can't be like if you choose a path that's fucked up, the game will tell you, like, yeah, that path isn't going to work. It won't let you just test it out yourself. You
so it's, I mean? It's so it's like the way the Batman Telltales had something like that. Remember, you can set up which way you want to go, kick this guy in the head.
Yeah.
This way, and then you trigger it. Even if you screw up on one of them, you don't really fail it.
Yeah. But the thing is, this is actually a little bit less interactive because once you set your path, the game just does it all for you. You don't need to do anything. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and also just like typical, you know, Quantic Dream games, like the further you get, the crazier the button presses get. You know what I mean? Like in the beginning, it's just one button, two button. Then by the end, you're doing fucking hand twister, you know?
Oh, man.
So I saw a couple of famous people in there. What was it? What's his face from Millennium?
Yeah, Lance Henriksen's in there.
Yeah,
Bishop's in it. That's right.
Lance Henriksen. And what's his face? The guy from Pet Sematary, Zim from
Star Zim. Trek. Yeah, Lex Luthor from the Superman show. Remember
that guy's that actor.
Clancy Brown.
There we go.
Yeah, he's in there. He's really good. He's one of the main characters. You know,
I'm surprised they didn't show them all over the damn thing. It's all about these kind of mysterious, you know, like robot people. I guess because they're the main characters.
Yeah, they're the main characters. You got Kara, you got Marcus, and you got what's his face, Connor. You know, they're the three main guys, and I like the fact that. Oh, and also, unlike Heavy Rain, you actually do get to play as this character simultaneously at one point. And the story comes together better, too. Heavy Rain just felt very dispersed, you know? But yeah. Any other questions?
You said this is the best Quantic Dream game. Yeah. Was something other than the graphics improved?
The graphics, the storytelling, and the QTE stuff I felt was better.
So because you mentioned that the story was kind of generic kind of.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. It's very generic. Because you've seen it so many times already. Not only have you seen the whole, you know, robot mankind stuff, you've seen the whole race stuff a bunch of times too. You know what I mean? Like the civil rights stuff. You've seen both of those things so many times, it doesn't really hit you with that impact, you know? Say what you will about Heavy Rain, you never really experience a story like that in a game, which I find interesting. Same thing with Beyond Two Souls. This one is like, all right, yeah, we've done this shit. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I wasn't a big fan of the Heavy Rain story, so I was thinking if this was better, but it doesn't sound like it is. But yeah, like it's like kind of like BioShock Infinite did like a version of that better, like the whole race thing. Like that's would you say that that's sort of the case?
I don't think that game did it very well either, to be honest.
That one was a little bit on the nose too.
They were both equally bad, to be honest. They were both equally bad. Deathstrike, thank you for hosting us, man. Moreham wants to know if there are a lot of different paths. Yes, there are. And the game shows you that, you know? And it's interesting because, like, because you see how long it takes to get to the end sometimes. Like, you'll end at one spot, but you see that above you, the branches keep going. It's like, oh, shit, I could have kept playing more of this chapter, you know? But then there are some chapters that are just completely linear. Not very many of those, though. Like, as the game progresses, they start getting more and more, like, branchy, you know, for the lack of a better term, you know?
Branchy.
But yeah, but the thing, Carlos, it's interesting. It's like the story is derivative of other stories, but it still is a better story than Heavy Rain, I would say, because it still is a sci-fi story. You know what I mean? But that's just me, right? Yeah. You know, because I'm like, sci-fi stories kind of trump regular drama stories to me. You know,
it's more generic, but it's the platform is it's a better platform than just the type of story that the previous games were trying to tell.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
you don't like no ghosts?
No, that was good too. That was good too. Does being from the future timeline comes to pass? No, there's no time travel in this, bro.
No.
You're crazy, man.
He wants there to be time travel. See,
what's going on, Rich? He goes, is it possible for Marcus, aka the brother to die. Yeah, all of them could die. Every one of your characters could die, you know?
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Oh, that's my question. Like, can anyone die, and does the storyline still carry on? But yeah, you just answered it.
Yeah, yes and yes. Also, but Brian, I don't know if you know this. If you put it on, they call it casual mode, there's less of a chance for your character to die. I think they still can die. It's just less of a chance. But if you put it on experience, which is the mode I recommend, your character can die. Gotta be careful.
I mean, the only one that was like that, the only one that didn't have the characters that can die is actually
Beyond, right?
Beyond Two Souls, because it's like, you know, it's really her story. I mean, you could cause the deaths of other people, but you couldn't really have her die.
Yeah. Oh, Vishal, your fucking joke went right over my head. Let me read it. Let's see if you guys will get the joke. Does a being from future timeline come to the past to absorb the android to achieve his perfect form? I guess so. I should have read the whole fucking thing. When he said perfect future form. Time, I'm like, there's no time travel in this, you know. Mm-hmm. Also, and this is just a personal nitpick, the game takes place like 20 years in the future and it's super futuristic. I'm like, we're not gonna have any of that shit, flying cars and stuff. Get out of here, you know.
So my another question I have is,
why is it
do they have a romance aspect with the androids? Or is that a spoiler? Or
I'm gonna say yes, but it's not between the main androids, if you know what I mean. Like, one of the androids does fall in love, right? But there's no nudity in this game, if that's what you're wondering. You know, Heavy Rain had that stuff. There's no nudity. Yeah, Brian. Yeah, no nudity, no titties, no bare ass, nothing. No dicks, nothing. You know.
Now a bunch of people just canceled their pre-orders.
Yeah, right. Brian, why don't you get your questions out now before I pre-answer them?
I think like I just keep just thinking of them, and like, you just answer them like right away. Fuck, I don't know anything else.
Yeah.
Do you go to like a strip club in any part of the game?
It's not a strip club. It's a what do you call those?
Brothel?
Yeah, it's a robot brothel. It's a robot brothel, but you don't see no titties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it has both male and female robots in there. Oh. You know, equality, people.
Your sex bot.
Yeah, you know, and all the robots in the game are very good looking people too. You know,
where's the fat robot?
There's no fat.
This game is not socially conscious enough.
Yeah, in a future. Yeah, yeah. Barry, you crazy, man. I'm not saying that shit on air. Getting me in trouble. Even though you guys probably already saw it down there a couple of seconds ago. Ooh. Actually, I'm going to read what he says. It's kind of funny. He goes, in a future where Trump actually made America great again. You're crazy, man.
Does it get into any of that stuff?
What do you mean?
Like, does it play a part? Because remember, there's a robots. Like, is a government behind a lot of what's going on with these robots or how they're being treated?
Is it going to that? That is the mystery. There's a mystery. Like, why are these robots acting like that? Because basically, they treat them as malfunctioning. They're not supposed to act like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But there is a mystery.
Westworld.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I guess the robots are even kind of like, if you don't have the skin on, they're actually white, like they are in Westworld. So yeah, you can say that. You have to pay HBO if you want realistic robot strippers, man. But yeah, anyway, last question. I want to start moving on. But yeah, the game is good, man. If you like those games, pick it up. If you don't like David Cage games, don't buy it. Don't bother. I'm just being real.
You don't like Kage games.
Yeah.
Where does this game rank in the pantheon of 2018 games so far?
Definitely not as good as God of War. You know, God of War is the shit.
Is it better than Sea of Thieves? That's all I care about.
I was going to say something very, very mean, but I'll leave it alone, man. I'm just going to say I went to the bathroom earlier today. The thing that was in my toilet.
Oh.
You know, that's all I'm going to say right there, man.
You just got to edit this part out for Brett so he don't. But know what? No. We talked about it last week. He doesn't like that game anymore, remember?
Yeah, that's right. He's done with it.
He's
right?
Over that. He's over it. Yeah, he told me that. Remember when I was saying, oh, you liked it? No, I don't like that.
So. Yeah, and Dana, you're right. Yeah, it's Westworld. Let me give some shout-outs before we move on, man. Sar is great. G Megaforce, Barry Burton, Moore Ham, and my man Vishal, you know. Carlos, you know, Hussein, Rich, you know, Deathstrike. Got a lot of people here, Rich.
Killer Bees.
Damn, Dana said dried ashy ass cheeks are better than Sea of Thieves. I didn't say it.
I like me some drop.
Yo, hey, what's going on, Kristen? Shout out to her too. All right, man, we're gonna move on here to the main topic. So PlayStation CEO says that PlayStation 4 has now entered its final phase of life. Dun, dun, dun.
Wait, we gotta do the song. Europe.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys are gonna like the cover this week, man.
Because it's the final countdown.
Hey, man, are you ready with it? You can show the people, man. I want them to see
but
it.
When he talked about that, he was like, yeah, it's ending, but they're talking about like 2020, so we still have some years.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That you know, we still got life. Just because you're entering the final phase doesn't mean it's going to end tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what was that one person? Somebody, there was another announcement that was after that that said it was like 2021 or something like that.
Our boy Giuseppe from DualShockers actually made it, you know, he did a little report on that. Sony actually did not say that officially.
Oh, they didn't.
They did not say that. Okay. They said that, you know, they're going to focus on, you know, they said they're going to lie low a little bit until 2021, but they didn't say that the PlayStation come out and, you know, yet. People just decided, hey, that's what they mean, right? So, yeah, PlayStation Classic. But, yeah, so anyway, my question to you guys is, are you actually surprised by this? Because I'm not, you know?
No.
You knew that end was coming.
I mean, we've been predicting when the PlayStation 5 is going to get
there,
released.
There you go.
Yeah, check that out, guys. Fucking awesome. This is our cover. Bonus points to whoever could figure out what this is an homage to, even though you probably already know. Amazing. All right, go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, so I mean, I predicted the PS5 is going to come out in 2020. I think most of us did.
Yeah.
And it's what, 2 years from now? So, yeah, like they said, what, it's in its last 3 years, apparently. So, yeah, no one should be surprised. Console generations last time with 360 and the PS3 just lasted longer than pretty much any other generation before that. Console generations usually don't last this long, so people shouldn't be surprised that we're getting ready to go to the next phase, you know?
Yeah. Chris, man, what do you think? Because, you know, you're more into the business side, right? What did you take away from the statement? Because it was a little bit, the way it was worded, it was very business-like, you know? Is there anything in there that you think maybe people didn't catch right away with the way he worded things?
No, I mean, it was pretty direct, you know. I think what they want to do is turn down and start building up towards the next system, right? So PS4 is selling like phenomenally well, right? So you don't want one product to hurt the other. So if they start introducing PlayStation 5 or whatever the hell they're going to call it, I'm going to just assume.
Yeah, people will just stop buying all these bundles.
Can we be real? You know it's going to be PlayStation 5.
So what you want to do is start getting people excited for the next system, but you have to start pulling people away from the current system, right? Like, just start dialing it back. So say, hey, everybody, you know, this is in the last phases of its life, and yada, yada, and we're looking at this date and stuff. So you put in people's minds already that that's when PS4 essentially comes to an end, or that's when PS5 emerges, right? So that they're ready to make that purchase. And they won't hold out. There won't be any surprises. It won't be like Saturn or anything. Like, there it is, you know. Did you just buy 32X? Well, fuck you, it's Saturn.
You know, yeah. Because I did find that interesting. They said that they're gonna kind of lie low right now, you know, and then come back later on. You know, like, okay, that's kind of interesting that you're telling us that. And they also said that they're not going to release any new first-party IPs, but they will release new first-party IPs that are like continuations of current franchises.
Okay, so essentially it's like they're saving the new shit for the next thing. We've already, you know, for the next thing and whatever they're going to have up next, and they're just going to release whatever, like, you know, in that amount of time, you know, let's say, oh, hey, just for the sake of conversation, Death Stranding 2 or, you know, whatever has already existed.
Yeah. You know? But yeah, it's pretty interesting. But, you know, again, they're going out with a bang, right? You know, we got this year alone, we got God of War, we got Spider-Man, We got I was about to say Heavy Rain, Detroit, and then last year, obviously,
The Last of Us.
Ooh, Death Stranding, probably, from what we're hearing. It's crazy, man.
You know, Cooney too.
Revenge, man. Brian, get in here, man. What do you think about PlayStation winding down, man?
It makes sense because again, it's been came out in 2013 or 2014?
Yes, 13. So,
so it's reaching 5-year mark now. So give it 2-3 more years, and that's a standard. Well, that's a long gen. So 8 years. Yeah, that's perfectly fine. It's done its job, you know. They've released the half step with the PS4 Pro, so I guess it only makes sense that it's time, really. Not overly surprised. Again, like I said, it's good business practice that you don't want to step on your own toes, so why not just tell the people, hey, you know what, we're not going to be pushing as much now, but save the good stuff for when when PS5 launches, and hence they can do something like the Switch did, which is you start off strong, you release with lots of your big games on day one, and you do well.
Don't worry, Brian. They're releasing Shenmue 3 and Final Fantasy 7 Remake for the PS5.
But yeah, you're right about that. And here's the thing, Manny and I were discussing this, right? Because I was thinking, okay, because last generation, people were complaining that it went on too long, right? This generation is about to go as long as last generation. People seem to be perfectly fine with that, right? But the reason, and this is just our theory, that if you really think about it, this generation really started in 2015. That's when you started getting games that were only available for current gen systems. Before that, 2013, 2014, you had every game that came out that was new for PlayStation 4 was also on PS3. Right, so you could really say the generation started in 2015, and it really got popping last year. So I think that's why people are probably not worried about it going on a little bit longer than expected. You know what I'm saying? Because we really should be getting the new PlayStation next year. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's smart because the system's doing so well. You don't want to shoot yourself in the foot. So I understand why they're doing that. You know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and we're gonna get some more games. Obviously, probably gonna get more remasters too. Let's just be honest, you know. Anyway, Adam, what do you say, man?
I'm not surprised. I mean, we all knew something new was gonna come, and 2020, that's plenty of time. By then, I think everybody would be hyped up for something new, you know. And I think the thing is a lot of people were thrown off is because we have this whole iteration. You know, we had the Pro, just Xbox has their Scorpio. So was that going to prolong it? It probably did. And it was a test. I don't know if it was a successful test. I mean, did they release numbers wow, that was a great idea, we're going to do another one? Don't know.
No, they didn't do nothing, you know?
Yeah, so we definitely know that there's a 5, and we'll find out, I guess, after if we get a 5 Pro, you know, then it's then you're like the iPhone when they do, you know, the 6, 6 Plus, and 7, and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, do I need one now? No. You know, we've got plenty of games. As long as it's backward compatible, and I heard a report that it is, something about the new chip, that it will support it. So that's cool, at least for backward for PS4 era. You know what I mean? I don't care about 1, 2, three. Just make 4, because that's still fresh. You know, and it'll definitely entice a lot of people that maybe just bought a PS4 within the past year or so. So, you know what? That's cool, though. At least I can bring all my games over, you know, especially if they're digital.
Yep.
Yeah. Sar is great. He's throwing out some stuff in the chat. He goes, the 7, Brian, you're going to love this. I'm going to read text shit right now, so I'm going to look stupid. The 7 NM AMD Ryzen and Vega Navi APUs aren't ready yet. I think those are rumored to be in the PS5.
They're going with the AMD chip, which is interesting, you know, because you would think they would just go with NVIDIA, but hey, whatever.
Yeah, because the current ones use, AMD, I believe.
AMD, yeah.
Yeah, so they're sticking with that.
Yeah. Makes sense. And yeah, I agree. PlayStation 5 will be backwards compatible with PlayStation 4. That's it.
That's fine.
Do you think that it'll be able to do the whole, what would you call it? You know how, like, when you run, like, backwards compatible games, like, it makes it, like improves the frame rate if the frame rate is unlocked?
I hope so.
Do you think that the PS5 will do that?
Or you mean boost mode?
Boost mode, like automatic boost mode. I mean, PCs do that already. I know what you're talking about.
PCs, here's like, my question. They solidify whatever.
Here's my question, based off what Brian just asked. Do you think people will accept anything less than 4K 60 standard?
Yes. Because we accepted anything less than 1080p 60.
And they did promise that. Remember that shit? Sony promised that shit. They were like, every game, 1080p 60. We knew there was bullshit. We knew it was bullshit, but they said it. Sadly, I'm agreeing with Carlos. People, they're gonna say it. They're gonna boast about it. Yeah, 4K 60 every game.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, they're not gonna do it. And I don't think they'll boast about it either. I think the only one that might do it is Microsoft because they did that kind of similar stuff with the X. So I don't know. We heard earlier about how. What's his name? Mark Cerny was talking to devs about the new specs of the PS4. So I'm pretty sure we might have a sort of the dev kits lying around next year.
Manny.
Or at least dev specs.
Manny, you got to give me Mark Cerny, man.
Well, we're going to go to the next level. We're going to be over 1080 60. 4K. 60 frames per second. Guaranteed.
but Gmail for
that. Then he chimes in. Then all of a sudden he comes in here. He's like, "Who's making fun of me?"
Oh no, Gmail for that. He's okay with 1440p. Even 1440p for next gen. I don't know about that, man. Like, I don't think that's acceptable. You know?
You ever notice how like it's always like three generations away? It gets to whatever they say that the other ones could say it could do, or like you know. You have a 1080 60, but really you have to play last year's games on the new consoles to get 1080 60.
That's right. Yeah, like Uncharted and Last of Us and stuff.
Yeah, they were on PS4 and it's like, hey, look, it's running exactly how they were supposed to be running on the previous generation.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Metal Gear Solid 5 comes out. That shit was 1080p 60 and open world.
But then again, that game. Last generation game.
That is very true. That is very true. You know? Nothing surprising. There's also something else we're going to talk about with PlayStation, but we'll get to that in a bit. Very surprising.
All right. I have a question for everyone.
What's up?
Do you, and this is for everyone here.
Uh-oh.
Do you think you'll have a 4K TV before the next generation launches?
No. I'm going to buy a 4K TV when the next generation launches, like I always do. I always buy a new TV when a new generation comes.
The only thing that I want to do is because I don't want a 4K television, but I do want to upgrade my television because it's kind of a big old clunky, super heavy old generation TV. You know, like it's huge, and nowadays 1080 of screens are so thin and light, and I just want to go with just upgrade to the same thing. But I notice now most of the TVs that you can get out there are mostly just 4K televisions.
Right.
By the way, this is the day we talked about before. We're like, 4K is going to be standard when that's the only TV you could buy. Well, there you go.
Yeah, like you go to the store. Most of the TVs are like, they call it Ultra HD or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, to answer your question, Carlos, no, I'm not going to get one before. I'm going to get one as soon as I know I'm getting that PlayStation 5, getting a new TV, you know?
Speaking of TVs. Not a dig on Digital Foundry, but how come they never talk about the optimal TV to play your games on? They're always talking about latency and all that other stuff.
They do. You have to search them. I had to do one for when I got my Samsung UHD, and I found a video, and they actually said, "All right, here's the optimal settings for that model." Mm-hmm. So if you type in a certain model, it'll come up. And then you'll see it. It's not on their main page most of the time because it's model specific. Mm-hmm. So you probably type in the Samsung model. I think I've only seen two or three, but yeah, I did mine. That's how I customized my settings.
By the way, Moreham says that when he goes to Walmart, they're still selling 720p TVs, but it's Walmart. What do you expect?
The 720p TVs are usually the smaller ones, though.
Yeah. So go ahead.
I guess to answer your question, Carlos, I won't, because I don't deal with TVs anymore. I just deal with monitors. So I just don't get TVs because I just don't have TVs anymore.
A long time ago. So you're Don Magic's worst nightmare. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris.
No TV, no sports.
Yeah. Chris, what about you, man?
What, getting into TV?
Yeah, 4K before next gen.
It's in the cards, yeah. Luckily they're dropping in price because the tech is just so pervasive, and I think at last CES they already started showing off 8K stuff, or I remember. So it just keeps pushing the prices down. So one day I'm gonna go before the Super Bowl and just go, oh, there it is. It's nice and cheap.
You know,
that'll be the motivation, and then I'll be like, and by the way, I'll be able to play games on my TV.
On my TV.
And Adam, you already have 4K, don't you?
Yeah, I already have a 4K on all my TVs.
Adam is like, Adam's like the tech master. As soon as the tech comes out, he already's got it.
That's it. I gotta get it.
This dude is like Palm Pilot before Palm Pilot.
Oh, I had a bunch. I had handsprings. Remember, I had a handspring. I had two handsprings before the Palm Pilot.
Mm-hmm. Or the Zune.
I had a
Palm Pilot.
Then I had a Trio. I had the Zune. I had the Trio. I had a Panasonic portable. It was like a big ass. It was a 2.5 hard drive that had a little case around it and a little screen. And that was my portable. It was by Anchor. Made that one. That was before the iPod. That was awesome. I missed that.
Yeah. Kristen says that she's happy to keep using the current TV until it craps out. And she doesn't like all the apps and stuff that come with TVs. That blew me away when I first learned about it. I'm like, TVs could have apps inside? How the fuck does that work? But they do.
My TV had Netflix in it and Amazon Video. The only thing is that they don't update it. So Netflix doesn't work to work on the TV anymore.
You can't update it yourself?
No, it doesn't work that way. Like it when you connect, connecting your TV online through your network, right? It automatically updates it itself. But the thing is that once the TV gets to a certain age, they stop updating it.
Oh, I got you.
Oh, they don't support it.
Gotcha,
they don't
support gotcha.
It anymore.
Yeah, that is kind of stupid. That's going to be bad for my Xbox. If I ever get a TV with the Netflix app and YouTube app, I don't need that Xbox anymore.
Well, I mean, what is it? What do they call that? What's that other service that they use? Roku. Roku updates stuff pretty often.
I have a Roku. I love my Roku. I have a Roku 3 and I use that all the time, and it does the updates behind the scenes so you don't have to worry.
My TV behind my TV in our room is a Roku one that has Roku in it. So it automatically
TCI or something like that, brand.
It already keeps all of that stuff updated as opposed to the other TV, the Vizio TV that I have.
And y'all have all the apps on the Roku because since they're not feuding with Apple or Amazon, you don't have that issue of like, oh, no YouTube for you, no Amazon streaming for you. You know, it's like, oh, it's all there.
Kristen says that she's perfectly happy using a CRT TV, bringing it back, man. You know, by the way, Roku sounds like a member of Baby Metal, you know?
I am Roku.
I'm Roku Metal.
I kind of made him sound like, the villain from Samurai Jack. I am Roku.
You sound like Sakurai, man.
Sakurai.
Yeah, anyway.
My Sakurai impression is Aku. Pretty much. Aku or Mako from,
All right, come on, guys. I want to move on, man. Let's talk about NPDs, April NPDs. You down with NPD?
Yeah, you know me.
You down with NPD?
Yeah, you know me.
All right, man. So this is from the reset era as I'm getting all this stuff. So I'm going to break down all this shit right now. Okay, so a total was 823 million, up 18% from last year. Hardware was 225 million, up 15%. PC and console software was 359 million, up 13%. And accessories, 241 million, up 28%. People spent a lot of fucking money, you know? Let's get to the software stuff. This is where it gets interesting. Okay, God of War was April's best-selling game. The PS4 exclusive from Sony Santa Monica achieved the highest ever launch month dollar sales for a title launched exclusively on a PlayStation platform. Sony was April's top selling publisher, driven by success of God of War. God of War is only out for 10 days. And they already announced, but yeah, we're going to get to the, I was about to get ahead of myself, but we'll tell you about the sales numbers after the first month. Somebody in here was right, and it wasn't me. okay, PS4 software breaks a record. PS4 software dollar sales in April 2018 set an all-time April high for any platform since tracking began in 1995. The record had previously been held by Xbox 360 and was set in 2008. MLB 18 continues strong. Okay, that's interesting. MLB The Show repeated its launch month ranking from March, once again placing at number 3 on the April revenues chart. MLB 18 The Show is the year's second best-selling exclusive date, trailing God of War. I didn't know people played that game like that.
Yo, man, it's all about the show, man. And baseball season starting.
That's the only one out there. So it's like.
Ubisoft, Far Cry 5 was their best-selling game. Our surprise, Labo, Nintendo Labo Variety Kit debuts as the fourth best-selling game of April, you know, in dollar sales, while the Robot Kit came out at number 21.
But that number is a little bit weird because there's two different fucking SKUs for that shit.
Yeah. But they count it all, man. They count it all.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. It's like counting two different versions of God of War. Do they? Do they count every single one?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, okay. They do.
I was going to say, because there was a point where they didn't count the special editions.
Well, yeah, they do, and Uncharted told us this. They even count those that get sold in the bundles.
Yeah, that's right. Let's get to the hardware and accessories. So PlayStation 4 hardware breaks a record. Sony's PlayStation 4 was the best-selling console hardware platform in April and remains the best-selling console hardware platform year-to-date. PS4 generated the highest April unit sales for a console since Nintendo Wii in April 2009. That's insane. And the highest April dollar sales for a console since Nintendo Wii in April 2008. Crazy.
It's crazy. It's outselling the Switch now consistently this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Switch came out a year ago. This shit's on its fifth year. Like, it's just ridiculous what the PS4 is doing.
It really is, man. Let me see. Check out. PS4 Pro sales get a boost. The PS4 Pro 1TB limited edition God of War bundle. I guess that should not be a surprise there.
I buy one.
Yeah, see? There you go. Was the month's best-selling hardware item in dollar sales, while the Switch 32GB with neon red blue Joy-Cons was the lead hardware sales in terms of unit sales. A gamepad hit Brian's favorite topic that we were discussing last night at 4 a.m. Gamepad spending increased 7% in April 2018 compared to a year ago and is up 23% year to date. The PS4 DualShock 4 wireless controller black was April's top selling accessory and remains the best selling accessory year to date. The PlayStation, the DualShock 4 is now the all time best selling gamepad in dollar sales. That's crazy, but as Brian pointed out, the DualShock 4 is actually more expensive than the Xbox controller. So
that isn't it 60 or 70? 60, right?
Here's the funny thing. In England, what I think is pounds you guys use over there, it was like 10 pounds more in most cases. For America, like the regular versions of the PlayStation 4 and Xbox, the PlayStation 1 is more expensive, but by like 12 cents, you know? But then when you get to the specialty controls, which they do count, then they're like $20 more expensive, you know? Mm-hmm. So that makes
like
sense there.
Special colors and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Headsets. Okay, headsets grew 89.
Hold on for a second. Yeah. We're going through MPDs, and now they're talking about accessories. I've never heard these before in our previous shows.
Nope.
They just start putting this shit on there?
Yep. They're doing a full breakdown.
All right.
Yeah, okay. Headset sales increased. Sales of headsets / headphones grew 89% in April 2018 when compared to a year ago, year to date. Headsets, headphones spending has increased 80%. The Xbox One Ear 4 Stealth 600 wireless headset from Turtle Beach is the best-selling headphone for both April 2018 as well as 2018 year to date. Interesting. Very, very interesting. All right, so let's get into the games. So should be no surprise here. God of War, number one best-selling game. I like how they put God of War 2018 in there, you know. God of War is the number one best-selling game. Number two best-selling game is Far Cry 5. Okay. Number three is MLB. Number four is the Labo. Nintendo.
Labo on there, man. What the fuck?
Nintendo guys, man, they like that shit. You know,
no man gotta get your cardboard.
It's card, but there is software for it though. You gotta remember that. Number five is the new Donkey Kong, which is an old Donkey Kong game. Mario Kart 8 is still on this fucking chart. Brian, you know what number seven is, bro?
Oh, I was waiting for that.
Mm-hmm.
Still there.
That shit ain't going nowhere. And Techno, I know you're in there, brother. Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
Pew, still pew. On there.
Number eight.
At least for now. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my belly hurt.
Number nine. Still on this bitch. Super Mario Odyssey.
Damn.
Wow. So has it officially can we officially say that it's beat out Zelda?
It probably has.
But everybody knew that shit was going to happen. It's Mario, man. Mario.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. The only person who didn't know that was Brett.
Oh.
It ain't my fault.
You're not listening to this episode ever again.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, all right. Let's keep it going, man. Number 10 is NBA 2K. Number 11, PUBG. That's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, Wildlands, man. Number 12.
Telling you, man, because they keep getting more DLC, more stuff keeps coming out. They're on season two.
That's
so
crazy.
If you keep supporting it, people keep playing it, and then they tell their buddies, and you know how that works.
Yeah,
keep spreading.
Number 13, Legend of Zelda, still on there every month consistently. Every month, your boy was dead as wrong. You know, number 14 is Monster Hunter, that's still holding in there. Rainbow Six Siege is in this bitch. Number 15, Adam, your favorite right here, man, A Way Out.
Way out, I'm telling you.
Number 16.
That's a fun one.
Oh,
fun
shit. Game. Yakuza. Yakuza's number 17. I never seen Yakuza on these.
Then one just dropped. One just came out, though.
Six. Came out the same day as God of War.
Oh, shit.
Well, at least it's in the top 20. Jeez. You know,
Brett, where you at, bro? Sea of Thieves, man. Number. Damn. Didn't they be at number one? This shit dropped to number
No, they were like number two, I think.
Okay, it dropped to number 18, son.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Kirby Allies number 19 and Adam's other favorite. A lot of Adam games this month. FIFA.
There you go. Footy ball, man. Well, and it's because also free content. They released a World Cup tournament update for it. So a lot of people jumped back on it and bought it if they didn't already have it just so they can do the World Cup.
Yeah, check this out. They have the year to date games. I'm assuming these are the best selling games of the year, right, Chris?
Yes. I believe so.
Okay, so the best-selling games of the year so far are Far Cry 5, Monster Hunter World, God of War, Call of Duty, Dragon Ball, GTA, NBA, MLB, PUBG, and Mario Kart 8. Interesting, again. It's crazy, man.
Hey, Dragon Ball Z's doing okay, then.
Yeah, man.
I'm surprised.
Do the servers work?
Especially, yeah, the servers, you know?
All right, what do you guys make of the NPDs? Chris, I'm going with you first, the numbers man.
God of War did exceptionally well. I don't know. I remember somebody saying something like that.
Yeah. We're going to get to that, but yeah, it did very, very well. You know?
I'm not surprised, because of the big releases. Like, Monster Hunter was doing phenomenal when it launched. It had a huge launch. Did very well. Labo, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about Nintendo anymore. Like, shit. They just defy all cardboard. But whatever. I got nothing to say about it. It's just like, okay. Shit. I'm surprised about, Zelda, because I figured everyone who wanted to get in on Zelda, even though they're still selling systems, that they would have probably gotten that game already. And it's still selling?
That was surprising.
It's not like GTA. It's not like it offers anything past the main campaign. So I'm a little surprised about that. What will be interesting is this played out pretty well, but I want to see what happens post E3, right after that tipping point. That's why I'm going to consider the tipping point going into the last half of the year, and then. Come September, October, that's Gamergeddon. Is that what we call it?
Yeah, Gamergeddon.
So starting in September, right? Starting with Spider-Man and then moving right into.
It's crazy. What about the rest of you guys? What do you what are some of the things you took away from this NPD?
Something about exclusives and having them. And having single player exclusive, something about that, something, something.
Yeah, I guess are you trying to say that single player games have impact? Is that what you're trying
to say? They do. Apparently they do. Especially with the way some people were talking.
You know?
He never said that they don't have impact. All he says is that they have less of an impact than what they once did.
Yeah. And that's not a lie.
No, that's not a lie.
Look at all these
true.
Look at all these games. Look at PUBG and all these games. All of those are...
But they do have impact. He
went out and said that there are games like Zelda and Zero Dawn that will come out and sell well, but in terms of like how they used to be, they're not as popular as they used to be.
Although Zelda has been on there since launch. It has been on NPD since launch.
Yeah, no, Zelda, I think this is going to be the best Zelda game ever. Best-selling Zelda game.
Oh, yeah, easily. Mario hasn't left the charts either since it dropped.
Yeah, but this is like 7-8 months.
Yeah.
I am surprised at the lack of NBA 2K. Because usually like that's up there with like the sports game.
Well, remember, with all the microtransactions, it really turned off a lot of
people. NBA 2K is number 10.
Okay, I must have missed that part. Okay, cool. No,
yeah.
It's still pretty low. Yeah, the NPDs are usually like the same thing of like, oh yeah, you have your GTA, you have your Call of Duty, and then you have your NBA. I'm like, well, okay. No, makes sense.
NBA is number 8 for PlayStation and number 7 for I'm looking at the wrong thing here. I'm like, yeah, they don't have NBA for fucking Nintendo. NBA 2K
do have NBA for Nintendo. I have it on the Switch.
Okay, but it's not listed here, so I guess nobody bought it. NBA 2K is number 7 on Xbox and number 8 for PlayStation. All right. And it's the number 7 selling game of the 7th best selling game of the year, Brian.
No. Okay, yep, that makes a lot more sense now. Oh, it's more online. Where's Tony? Where's some boys game? Where's GTA 5 in like the best selling game of the year?
Of the year, it is number 6.
God damn it. Yeah, they are definitely going to hit like 100 million by the end of the year. Or even like before like summertime, because fuck me.
Check this out. GTA 5 is number 5 on both Xbox and PlayStation.
Yeah.
Where is it on the Switch?
Oh.
Yo, man, I'm surprised. I'm surprised the Far Cry 5 and MLB The Show have like these legs, because last month, Far Cry 5 was number 1 and MLB The Show was number 3. And they're still in the top 3.
Yeah,
Far Cry 5 also went on sale. It went on sale last week or the week before that?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm sure that could have given it a boost right there.
By the way, not to derail the show, did we talk about the Resident Evil 7 coming to Switch? I don't know if we did or not.
No. I don't remember talking about that. No.
All right. We'll add it in there after this topic, unless anybody else wants to say something about NPDs real quick.
No.
All right. Good. Tied into NPDs. Again, touting this man's horn. Chris was right. God of War in the first month sold 5 million copies. That's fucking crazy. I said 3.5 to 4. Nope, that wasn't close. Chris, man, so you know, take a bow, I guess, you know.
Well, no, I mean, I was even, it did better than I thought, because I thought, oh, it'll get closer, hit that. It beat it, like, you know, and I knew EA was dead wrong. Like, fuck them, and, you know, Phil Spencer's off his rocker, man. Like, I'm like, people were hungry for this. I'm like, it's the opposite of what you guys think. I'm like, you got your head so far up your asses, people are hungry for a good single-player narrative experience, and I knew it was going to show, and it did. And I guarantee you, wait the 90 days, I said 8 million is going to happen.
Yeah. Dana says only 5 million. No, 5 million is already way, way, way out there. You know? Way out there.
Like, Chris is like insane. Nostradamus here.
Yeah. So again, remember, Chris also said 8 million by the end of E3, which is...
Yeah, so the end of June.
It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be tight, but I think there's going to... Sony's going to start building up hype for everything, and God of War is going to be part of that hype, because it's part of this year's releases, right? Leading into the next big release they have this year is Spider-Man, because Days Gone got pushed to 2019.
That's right. Spider-Man.
They're gonna push Spider-Man hard, so they're gonna still use God of War, as I see. So I think a lot of people are gonna, oh, and remember, E3 is open to the public now. There's gonna be people that know about it. It's gonna still have some legs through the summer, and the summer's dry. Before Game Again, there's like a hole.
Nothing.
So I think it'll still sell.
I just hope it sells 4 million more. So then someone gets a free game on in this show.
Yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, that's right. We got a bet with right. Our boy Cicero.
Yep.
You know what was the bet again? Just you know, let everybody know what was going on.
If God of War sells 9 million or more, then by the end of the year, someone from a fan of Throwdown is going to get a free game.
Oh shit!
And the opposite, if it doesn't, someone from the Spawn on Me podcast fan base will get a free game.
So either way, somebody's getting a hookup.
Yep. Maybe there's fans of both of them in here. So
yeah, that's right, man. And obviously, if you guys haven't already, go check out the Spawn on Me podcast. All right. So yeah, God of War. Any other thoughts on the sales numbers? I'm surprised. I thought it was going to be 3.5 million tops. You know,
tops in the month or in
because you said that in a month. You know,
no, you said that you said 3 point something in the week.
Did I? Okay. So what did I say? Didn't I? Okay. So I said 4 million in a month, right? I didn't say 5 million. I sure as fuck did not say 5 million. That was Chris. You know, actually, Brian, I want your thoughts because didn't you say like this game was not going to sell that well?
I said 2 million in the first week. I don't remember what I said for the month. I'm just confused at the numbers. Okay, so the 5 million is for a month in terms of time, or is it by the end of that month?
I think in a month period, like from April 20th to May 20th. Okay. That's when the report came out on May 20th.
I'm just confused. Okay, so it did 3 million in 3 days and then 5 million in a month.
Yeah.
Basically, in, let's say, 25 days, it sold 2 million.
Like, yeah.
That's like a massive fall off.
Yeah, because I'm assuming all the people that wanted it, they bought the shit on day one.
There was a surge of pre-orders. It actually had an enormous amount of pre-orders. So that was where a bulk of those first 3 day sales came from, was pre-orders. People already purchased the game ahead of time, so there isn't a lot of, there was a fall off because like then you get people going, oh okay, it is good, to wait for reviews or they wait to see the let's plays or whatever, and then they buy into it. So what I'm counting on going into the next few weeks in the E3 and then the end of June is Sony building up hype again for it with promotions, because they're going to put together, you know, they're going to put together sizzle reels and stuff going into E3, showing the game or whatever. And then other people are just going to, it's going to build interest, and then they're going to go into it for that. And then there's a hole in the summer and they're like, oh, okay, I'll pick up God of War. So that's what I'm counting on. But a lot of the sales came from.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Yeah. Now I'm confused. I like whether or not it will be able to reach like 9 million by the end of the year, because like you can do like 2 million in 1 month, let's say, like as in like extras, then that pace carrying on, and if it slows down, I don't know if it will reach the 9 million. I'm actually interested to actually see how well it fares now.
We'll see, man, because remember, you didn't think it was gonna do this well either, you know?
Yeah, I'm actually genuinely on the fence of, because I'm assuming that it like decays like naturally,
yeah.
And with that type of decay, and given how much it sold like just now, it's like it doesn't leave much room for reaching the 9 million.
Well, so, you know, if you have a bundle, that's gonna make sales pick up again. That's what happened with Uncharted, you know.
Yeah. So you know what? Good luck to both sides, because I actually don't know who's actually gonna win. Somehow my Nostradamus powers have gone.
Yeah, I think God of War may be your Nintendo. Like,
yeah.
you can't predict it correctly, just like I can't predict Nintendo correctly.
Oh, me neither.
You not know? Anymore. Yeah, this generation of Nintendo, yeah, it's all up in the air. I'm not even saying shit anymore. You know? Me and Chris are like, nope.
Yeah, like Labo, motherfucker? All right,
Labo.
Whatever.
Like, okay, Labo cool. Lets you know right there. That's like, yep, that's it. Not, we like, the physics don't work anymore. Rules of physics don't work in its universe, you know.
Well, no, see, you remember, you know, physics work differently in outer space.
Yeah, you mean where Nintendo fanboys hang out?
Yeah, that's where they are.
Oh,
All right, man. Let's move on. So, yeah, because I just remembered this shit at the last minute. So, yeah, Resident Evil 7 is going to come to Nintendo Switch, but with a caveat, it's going to be through the power of the cloud. Very interesting, but it's also very clever if you think about it. You can't you can't run that shit on Switch naturally, so you have to do this. Makes perfect sense.
It's an interesting idea. I mean, it just means that they don't need to put anything onto the system. So now, where are they going to be running this from? How are they going to be running this on? You know, is it just going to be running a PC version and just, you know what I mean?
Could you imagine if it looks better on a Switch because it's running on a PC? You know, PC.
That's the only alternative, because they can't have it running on a PlayStation, and they can't have it running on an Xbox.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it has to be a PC. But are they gonna have to downgrade it? Like
downgrade it to what? I mean, it's just streaming to your console, so it can look as good as anything else on there. In fact, it could probably look better.
Like Gaikai. So they're gonna do something like that.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Right now, it's only for Japan, but I'm gonna guess they're gonna fucking do this for America too. It's a good run on. But I'm gonna stamp this
like
shit
PS
out.
PS Now though.
Yeah, it is like PS Now. It's exactly like PS Now. Yeah, PS Now. I'm gonna stamp this out right now because I know as soon as GTA 5 comes out like this, people are gonna go, Tony, what happened? You said it wasn't gonna come. I'm still technically correct. You know,
well, I think this is a test. This is a test right now to see if this type of tech.
Yeah, if it doesn't work, no one's going to try this. But if it
works, they won't do it with GTA 5 because if you want online, it won't work. Imagine having the streaming and then trying to run online at the same time.
Oh, so it's definitely going to work then.
Yeah, I mean, it's a single player game, so I mean,
yeah, it's different with RE. If you guys just want GTA single, then yeah, they could probably do it.
Yeah, they could do that, but the full experience. Nah, son. But I think it's a clever, clever way of doing it. What do you think, Carlos? Oh,
I wonder who's hosting this shit. Like, is it Capcom? Is it Nintendo? Because
my guess is Nvidia themselves. Because I know that they have the GeForce Now thing, where if you have, there's like a program, and basically it allows you to like run all your games on like a Titan on like Nvidia servers. So that's a thing, and it's. It is the only thing that makes sense. Like, none of these other companies involved in the Switch actually have any, like, streaming-type things in their bags. Like, not Nintendo, not Capcom, so it must only be in Nvidia, because that's, like, the only part left.
Yeah, because it's, like, I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, why the hell would Capcom host this shit? And I'm like, and I don't see Nintendo investing on anything like this. They're barely invested in their online infrastructure to begin with. So it's like, it makes sense that it would be NVIDIA.
But here's my question. Like, so who approached, let's just say for the sake of argument, it's NVIDIA. Who approached them? Was it Capcom to approach them? Was it Nintendo that approached them? You know?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, they said it was Capcom.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm
wanted like, to try it's to do a, this because they're playing catch up.
Because I'm like, okay, if it's a Capcom game, why would NVIDIA host it for them? What incentive is it for them? You know what I'm saying?
Maybe you know what? Nintendo must have worked out a deal when they had them develop the SoC for the Switch, their custom Tegra. They must have worked out a streaming deal back then, and to have NVIDIA do streaming for them or something like that, so that. If a developer wanted to take them up on it, NVIDIA would handle it, right? That makes sense to me. They would do something like that. So they already had that set up before the Switch launched.
Yeah. See,
it's
that
just
makes
somebody
more sense
had to get on it.
Yeah.
Know?
But yeah, I think it's cool. What do you think, Adam?
Interesting.
I think it's going to flop. You need a strong connection for it, and that defeats the whole point of taking it out to be a mobile device.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do that at a Starbucks. You can't do that in like a park or one of those free Wi-Fi settings. You're going to have to be at someone's house or your own home.
That is exactly why it's being done in Japan, because their internet is incredibly strong. Probably the better, as good as Korea's infrastructure. So yeah, they probably can get away with that because they're free. I heard that they're just on the street. Free internet is better than the shit that we get here.
Damn.
Normally in the States.
Yeah.
That shit is crazy. But, you know, I still think it's a clever workaround. But, it remains to be seen how it's actually going to work in real life, you know?
Well, they're just running it in Japan, right?
Yeah, it's just Japan for now, which they have very good internet over there.
They have very good internet, and not to mention they're a smaller country.
Yes.
You know, they don't need, I mean, what, Japan is about as big as California, right?
It's smaller.
It's smaller than California. So, yeah, it's officially, it's kind of a smaller market. Smaller
Colorado. Let's say Colorado. Or give me Idaho.
Give me Idaho. Potatoes, man. Hungry. But,
I don't know. I honestly don't see this being implemented in the West.
Oh.
It just doesn't seem like, I mean, those kinds of services don't even work here anyways. Like PS Now isn't that big. I don't know. It just seems like it's something that could possibly work in Japan. I don't even know if it'll work there.
Yeah, it's just going to be one of those things where we're like, Nintendo's going to make it work, and then they make it work somehow. That shit'll be crazy. I don't know what's going on with Nintendo anymore. They could do anything now.
They're selling cardboard.
They're selling cardboard, and people are buying this shit. Think about this. We've been covering NPDs forever, right? When was the last time that we had cardboard make it onto the NPDs? Think about that. You know? It's crazy right now, man. All right, so go ahead, Manny.
No, I was just laughing because it's just funny.
It's just Nintendo. Like, they're selling cardboard to people. They're buying it in droves. Think about that.
We'll see if this comes to America, though, because like Manny said, the infrastructure in Japan is excellent. We don't have that close to that. Nah. So we'll see if they take the investment, because a lot of times the network stuff they do for Nintendo in Japan, they never bring it here, ever. So... you know, but I guess I can't look at the past, right? Because cardboard and whatever. So, who knows?
Cardboard, man. This shit is crazy.
Does the Switch even have Netflix yet?
No.
No. It has Hulu.
Yeah. Yeah, man. They don't have Netflix. Yeah, I doubt they're going to get this anytime soon over here.
That's crazy, man. All right, let's move on, man. Let's get to some... Actually, no, we're going to avoid the controversy, even though this game is full of controversy. Fucking, so they revealed Battlefield 5, and everybody went fucking crazy. So we're going to sidestep the bullshit and just talk about what they actually revealed. Adam, I'm going to you first, since you're the FPS guy here.
They revealed some in-gameplay of the campaign. It's World War II, and it's like really over the top. I mean, these planes are falling down next to these guys as they're running around, and you know, it was just it sort of had that Call of Duty feel, you know. But this is what they've been doing with the recent battlefields, with these really big battles, and that was it. It wasn't that much. It looked great, you know. And then they talked about all the other modes, and they talked about that they're going to show off later on their battle royale mode, you know. But
so that's confirmed. It looked fine.
Well, it's confirmed on their end that they are doing it. So don't know if it's going to be at launch.
Is it being called Battle Royale?
Yeah. I don't know if they're calling it, but they said that they are working on a Battle Royale mode for them. But they already have one. You know, in a way, it's Conquest. So they just have to make some tweaks to that, and there you go. Just have it like, all right, well, there's no respawns. Done. Battle Royale, you know, because right now it's respawns. It's a huge map. You know, it's like 60 people. They could add more people if they want, you know, if they really want to do the whole Battle Royale feel. But still, 60 was a lot. You know, I remember that was a pain in the ass playing because it's a huge map. It has the vehicles, sort of like what Call of Duty was talking about. I remember there was this one mission where I had to run, get in the Jeep with another guy, get to the beach, get on a boat. Right, then we go across like this ocean area to get on another beach just to get sniped in the head from a guy from a building, and then have to do that whole thing over again because it spawned to the guy who was next to me, and that guy also died. So now we were back at the main base getting on the Jeep, and it's a pain in the ass because the maps are so big, and people are like, oh, we'll spawn to somebody else, and you could do that. You know, but it's a very big map, so maybe they'll have to fill it out. Who knows? But it looks fine. At least from what they showed. I'm sure they're going to show more at E3, but they sent out that email with the video, and I'm like, oh, take a look. And I was like, all right, well, you did World War One last year. Now we're in World War Two. You know, so.
Does that mean next year it's the Vietnam War or the Korean War?
They tried that. Well, Call of Duty tried that. It didn't work out so well, but.
Yeah, it's not so good when you're fighting a war that you didn't win.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
and it was all jungle warfare. You know, yeah. They didn't really go anywhere. It was just in the jungle.
And, so. You know, I'm just looking at this report here. It says that, you know, even though it does take place in World War II, they're trying to, you know, give you different locations. Remember, it was a world war. It wasn't just from fucking France and Germany, you know?
Yeah, I mean, France, Germany, and also Japan. I mean, you know, you literally can have a whole different... In the fucking Pacific. Deserts!
Yeah.
Because, I mean, because there's also portions of it that took place in Africa.
Yeah, so this game, you know, it takes place in northern Africa, the city of Rotterdam in Netherlands, the French countryside, and even in Norway. You know, because the Nazis occupied Norway too, so that's kind of cool. Here's the thing I took away from it, right? And I said this when I was talking about Battlefront last year. I'm like, don't expect any games to have loot boxes in 2018. They're like, nope, none of that shit. They learned their fucking lesson.
Yeah, you know? Just dropped that shit. They're like, yes,
that shit. The game is gonna have microtransactions, and they're all cosmetic. I'm like, yup, I fucking called that shit. They're not messing around anymore. You know, which is good. Also, what's going on with the season passes? I don't know if they're. I think they're getting rid of those too.
I don't think the season passes.
Yeah.
Which is good. You know, it seems like this one's... That, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, they said that they're just not have any type of season passes. That they want to level the playing field in terms of content, because the problem that they had prior is because they had the packs. Then some will get a pack, some won't. But more often than not, people will not get the packs. So hence. All the DLC players will just fall off, and hence no one will actually play the DLC. So hence, like, even things out, everyone gets the DLCs free. So hence, everyone has access to the same content.
Interesting.
Which is what they're saying, but it's EA, and if they say that the sun will rise tomorrow, I'll still be there like, oh, fuck. Again, I don't trust anyone to say.
Tomorrow.
What's going on, Rageworks, my brother? Thank you for joining us tonight. Moreham says, he goes... Punished EA. they you know. He also says, yeah, no season passes and all the maps are free. That's good. Also, the game's going to have a destructible environment, which is kind of a staple of the series, you know.
Yeah, that's always been there.
Yeah, that's a staple of this series, you know.
Yeah, I was just trying to see what new stuff. I mean, it's everything that we already know about Battlefield from the previous one and what to expect. It's just, we'll see with that Battle Royale. That's the big change. You know, the one thing they can throw in Call of Duty's face, like, well, we have a campaign.
Hey, this is interesting, Adam. It says the bullets will always land where the crosshair is pointing all the time. So,
yes,
interesting.
Yeah, you know why? Because of bullet drop.
Yeah, bullet drop.
They had that effect on for certain weapons. That was a pain in the ass, but.
And it's, you got a squad. Is there like a co-op mode in this game too?
No. I don't know. They didn't mention anything about that, but in the previous ones, they didn't have co-op for it. So
did say that there's going to be like a four-player co-op mode.
Okay.
Oh, what?
Yeah,
there's four-player co-op. Wait, yeah, he's right.
Then there's no bullet drop anymore?
Yeah, no bullet drop. That's what it looks like. Hey, by the way, if this game has four-player co-op mode, we're gonna stream it, and I want to be the girl with the robot arm. She looks fucking awesome. You know, Tony, it's a prosthetic. Looks like a robot arm. I'm sorry. You know? But yeah. Anyway, Brian, what were you saying again?
No, co-op? I have issues now because statements. Because, like, they said that they want to bring a authentic experience and yet not have bullet drop. I mean, it's physics.
Yeah. People got pissed.
But how is it an authentic experience if the game looks like a fucking Michael Bay movie?
Yeah, it's know? All over the top. See,
this is what I mean. Like, okay, I was like willing to excuse that for the sake of, like, okay, you know what? You need to have some sort of spectacle in the game. Fair enough. But this is like stuff that they've always had, and I've never had an issue with it. I've always liked that. Now it's kind of like they've strayed a bit too far from what they're saying and what they're doing. So now I've gone back to the point of, I don't believe anything they say. So I'm just going to say they're talking shit until they actually prove it.
Brian's like, this is an authentic. You had a woman in the war.
I don't care.
So
basically, I'm not going to take the stance of everything they say is bullshit until they actually show footage of that. So all this whole, oh yeah, free DLC maps. Nope, I don't believe it. Full play co-op, I don't believe it. Like,
I don't believe it until they show it.
Because I'm just not in the mood anymore.
But it's this whole live service thing now. This whole article is fucking huge. Shit. It's a feature? I'm not reading all this shit.
It's magic.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Well, you know, Anyway, you know, me personally, I don't care. I never played Battlefield. Don't really give a shit. So whatever.
Played in a Battlefield.
I just find it funny. I'm like, okay, so we're going back to World War II now. Okay. Very interesting.
I told you, man.
They went we right back to have that it shit. Back. Whoop, they're back. So,
with all the fancy resolution and all that good stuff. Yeah. World War II.
Yeah.
The second war to end all wars.
Oh, man. All right. Anybody else want to say anything about the Battlefields? Oh, by the way, they got balls. They're dropping that shit in October. They're like, fuck Red Dead, you know?
Damn. Oh, yeah.
When in October?
I don't know when, but it's let's check it out. What is the release date for this bitch? Because every game is like staying away from October, you know?
Red Dead's the 26th.
Battlefield
5. 1 week before.
Oh, they got them brass balls, man.
Damn. They're like, yeah, play this game before fucking Red Dead. So what the hell is coming out in November?
Good question.
Call of Duty is in September,
Call
I think.
Call of Duty.
Spider-Man's like around that time too.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Yeah, September, right? Yeah, November is
September,
like...
September 7th is Spider-Man's.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's coming. That's a good question. What is coming out in November?
It's like everyone's scared of something. Everyone thinks that Red Dead...
You give it a wide berth. Wide berth.
Yeah, my man Moreham with that knowledge right now. So he goes October... Oh, this is about Battlefield 5. October 11th for EA Access. October 16th for Deluxe Pre-Order. And the 19th for Standard. Interesting. Winter is coming in November. That's right, Vishal.
Meh.
You know, actually, winter starts December 21st. Man. All right. And the last story here. Let me make sure I'm actually on point. Yes. Very interesting. So Sony is not ruling out the possibility of another portable console. Very interesting.
For them to do a revision on the PlayStation Vita would be so easy. They can learn. They learn literally. Learn from all their mistakes from the last thing. Give that thing
memory cards.
Make sure you can use off-the-shelf memory cards. Get rid of all that other bullshit that's in the background. You literally could remake the Vita without all that bullshit that was wrong with it, and again, put a better processor inside of the damn.
Check this out. Let me read this thing, and then we can move on.
I think they're talking about phones, though.
He goes, in an interview with Bloomberg Japan, Kodera, who's the PlayStation CEO, said that Sony Interactive Entertainment is considering, quote, various options around the PS Vita, unquote. So that's not a phone. That's what he said, PS Vita right there.
PlayStation Vita.
This comes after his predecessor, Andrew House, shout out to Andrew House, said in a fall 2018 that portable gaming is not a big market. I guess my man's like, okay, Andrew House said this, I said that.
He's like, Mr. House is wrong.
Yeah. Kodera added that while PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita are separate platforms, Sony is continuously looking for ways to offer unique gaming experiences. While he does not specifically mention PS5, Kodera reiterated that the PlayStation 4 has entered the final stage of his life and that Sony will spend the next 3 years, quote unquote, preparing for the future. Hey, man, if they do a Vita 2 or a PlayStation Portable 2 and they don't do that memory card bullshit, I'll be there day one.
They can literally, I mean, they did say that they're going to stop making PlayStation Vita cartridges.
Yes, in America. That's right.
In America. But whatever the new thing is, you know.
But this, yeah, and they're still selling the Vita. They said they're going to stop that in 2020.
Oh, did they officially say that?
I saw they talked about it today. There was some reports that 2020. They're going to keep supporting it. Take a look. Keep support until 2020.
I just find it funny how Vita was this, like, malign system and stuff. And, yeah, Adam, you're right, 2020. But the shit is still selling, you know? It's not selling greatly, obviously, but it's still selling. I need to make sure I buy another Vita before they go out of stock, you know?
You can get the lighter one, right?
Yeah, I want the lighter one, yeah. Okay, yeah, 2020 is when they're going to stop making them. Very interesting.
I mean, you know, it wouldn't be that if they could, you know, they could just, the tech to make a next generation version, you know, a higher, a better functioning version of the Vita is not that far. They don't need to make it super expensive or advanced like the original Vita was. But you literally can remake the original Vita, because now, since OLED screens are incredibly cheap, you know, processors are probably a processor a generation or two above what is currently in there. Right? Just rename the damn thing. Call it PlayStation Portable 2.
Yeah, I think that's the best way. Don't call it Vita, because there's a little bit of a stigma there. Call it PlayStation Portable. Have you know off the shelf fucking memory cards, and you'll be good. You know,
you have to wait till VR dies. Once VR dies, they'll have extra funding, and then they'll do it.
Shit, you know,
they'll just use whatever's in the VR helmets inside the Vitas.
No, and if people hack this shit, these things happen, right?
Well, they're already doing it now. You could hack the Vita now.
Oh yeah, finally, right? Because remember it's crazy. But yeah, I that would be cool. That would be pretty cool. I'm down with that.
Like, it's not out of the question.
Yeah, thank you for that, Mr. Codera. You know,
not bad for a failure system, right?
You know,
around for what? How many years? When did that thing come out?
Yeah, it's been around forever.
2011, I think.
2011.
Around that, 2011.
So essentially, almost 10 years.
It outlasted the Wii U.
Yeah, it still has games. Games are still coming out.
Coming. It's crazy, man.
That Curse of the Moon, it's on there.
See, Barry Burton's onto something, man. Make PlayStation Vita 2 out of cardboard. Instant seller, man.
You make it out of cardboard. You make your own console.
It was 2011. December in Japan. North America, 2012 February.
Still, very interesting. I'm very down with that. You're very interesting. I want to see Gio Corsi come on stage, you know, with the new fucking PlayStation Portable.
yeah, he's like, you might notice that there's something a little bit different about this version of this Vita that I'm currently holding in my hand. Notice anything?
You know, there's going to be dudes in the audience pissing themselves. They see, oh my God.
The PlayStation equivalent of Triforce Johnson will faint.
Yes.
I don't know who that is.
Oh my God.
But they will.
Remember that? Okay, there's a gif of that fat guy. He's like, it's gonna be that, you know. Vita boy. That's right. The Vita boy. Techno. Yeah, boy. I like that. I like how we spelled boy though. B-O-I.
What if they called it the Wonder Swan?
Wait, are they gonna call it like the Vita? Or are they gonna call it the Vita Boy?
Vita Boy.
Hold on, I gotta calm down right now. I'm just thinking about a new PlayStation Portable, and you know,
think about it.
No, I have to. Oh, fuck it. I'm already thinking about it.
Remember, they didn't really make any money off of it.
They didn't.
You know, and that's why people don't understand. It's like, well, it's still around and games still coming. Yeah, but not from Sony. They stopped supporting that shit like with their own games years ago.
Oh, they stopped making games for it like a year after it came out.
You know,
that's what I'm saying.
But the game still kept coming. You know,
yeah, it's everybody else because it was such a party. Yeah. Because it was such an easy thing to develop for. I mean, to be honest, so I mean that's probably why it's still around. And I mean, places like Limited Run Games and a bunch of other companies that make these that have been continuously making Vita games for these things. It's still. I mean, it's probably paid for itself. It's not making millions, but it's probably doing enough for them to make the damn things.
It's and, enough you know, that they haven't canceled it yet. You
yeah,
know?
They haven't can't. They haven't dropped it.
Think about it. It's going to have two more years, man.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't announced the final days of the Vita yet, but they did for the PS4.
Yeah, that's right.
It's been the final days of the Vita for almost 5 years already. So yeah.
The Vita's been in its final days for most of its lifetime. If you think about it,
we're in the weekend at PS Vita 3 right now.
You know?
It's still going. It keeps going.
So what is it? So is it just like it's just like on life support somewhere? It's just like it's not dying.
It's Bernie, man. We're just puppeteering it around. Like, third parties are holding it up. Like, nah, he's still alive, see?
You know, B Money, what's going on, brother? He goes, remember when Vita and PS3 had a cross-buy towards the end and early in the PS4? Make slight upgrades and do the same thing going forward. Real games on the go. Yeah, man, that was good.
That was a good thing. Having that connectivity between your two games.
My man Morham is still waiting for BioShock Vita. You know?
Give Ken Levine a call and ask him what he's up to. Because nobody knows. Yeah.
Moreham also says Joy-Con boys no more, only Vita boys.
Is that with a Z?
Moreham also says that. Yeah, that's right. Bloodstained is coming to the Vita.
Yes, it is.
You're crazy, man. Yeah, I think that's gonna do it for us. And actually, no, this was a good. I was gonna say it felt like a shorter show. No, pretty good length. You know, an hour and a half. Manny, Bloodstained. Tell us about that real quick. What are your thoughts?
Yes, today I got from my you know, one of the, I guess the Patreon like, you know, stretch goals was to make a prequel for Bloodstained. So they made this game Bloodstained: Circle of the Moon, which is a really crazy throwback to like the original Castlevania games. And you play one of the characters who is in Bloodstained, and you also get, you actually, pretty much all the four characters that are in Bloodstained Circle of the Moon are in Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. So it's just, you play this, the main guy you play is this kind of samurai guy with a demon blade. And then eventually you get Miria from, you know, the real Bloodstained game. And then you get two other characters that also appeared. It's a fun game. It's, you know, it's pretty much Castlevania. It's like Castlevania 3, but with four characters. And it's got 8 levels. It's not a long game, but I had a lot of fun playing it.
Yeah, man. If you want to check that out, please go to the channel right now. We got the stream up, you know. Mm-hmm. Lots of fun. I bought it myself. I bought it for the PlayStation 4 earlier tonight before the show started.
I got through about, we went through like 3 bosses, so which was all the additional 3 characters, you know, that including yours, which makes 4. And then I was on this last one boss that was kicking my ass. But the boss fights in it are really awesome. And then also it has a bit of it has a linear form like a normal Castlevania game, but it has those little bits of Metroidvania-ish, where you can bring back your characters that you've earned earlier, you know, later in the game, to go through different parts and fight different bosses and get different items and things, which is cool.
Yeah, man, good stuff, you know. Da-da-da. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for us, man. So we'll be back on Sunday. You already know. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What is a man? A miserable pile of secrets.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Laters.
Adam Vale.
See you tomorrow at WrestleCast, and have a good weekend. 3-day weekend for a lot of people.
And Brian Mangioma.
Once again, condolences to the family and friends of Toll Biscuit, John Bain. It really is sad to see him go.
Indeed. All right, guys, we'll see you on Sunday, man. Later.
Later, guys.
Peace.